Beth Trachtenberg is new to theatre production, and she's launching a play called, or musical called, Imagine This at the New London Theatre, where we are currently sitting. We're 1 week away from opening night, and she is clearly very excited at the prospect. This is an interesting year, because after several years where there have been large numbers of musicals in London, there haven't been so many, so Imagine This is all the more welcome. Beth, welcome to Theatre Voice.
Thank you, Philip. Nice to be here.
First of all, tell us about Imagine This, because it's not necessarily a conventional musical. It's about, I think, the Warsaw Ghetto, or set in the Warsaw Ghetto in 1942, and you've not got the biggest names in the cast. So tell us all about it. Why did you go for it, and what it's all about?
It is indeed set in the Warsaw Ghetto, and although that isn't a conventional setting for a musical, I think that musicals, by their nature, if we look at the settings or we look at the stories that are involved in musicals, certainly, you know, Vietnam wouldn't have been thought of as a conventional setting when Miss Saigon was done, or France before the revolution with Les Mis. There have been a long list of kind of suitable settings, and I think it largely depends how one implements the show. I think that one of the things that has kind of drawn attention to the setting of Imagine This is that the sensitivity of setting something against the backdrop of the Warsaw Ghetto. I don't think of it as a Holocaust musical, because for me, as I think for so many other people, the Holocaust has come to resemble, to represent the concentration camps and all the millions who died. And not that there weren't hundreds of thousands who died in the ghetto. What we took our inspiration from, and I can't take credit for it really, but the writer took his inspiration from, is that the Warsaw Ghetto was this unique center of cultural life in Europe. Even after the people were imprisoned within the ghetto, theater continued to flourish, cabaret continued to flourish. There was a symphony orchestra, there were ballet companies, there were poetry journals. And I think that that was so inspirational to us, the importance of art in the life of even people who are living under the most horrific circumstances imaginable, is part of what kind of was behind the impetus for developing Imagine This.
And how did you get involved in the project?
I actually got involved about 2.5 years ago when someone who I had known, who I had worked in Europe a number of years ago, doing a soap opera, working on different joint ventures over here, and someone who knew that I also rise to a challenge, felt that I would, rightfully felt that I would fall in love with the music and respond to the story. I love musical theater. Although I've never produced musical theater, I've been seeing it since I was a child. I'm quite familiar with it. And so he actually, Shuki Levy, who is the composer, I guess about 5 years ago now, actually produced a CD of some of the songs from Imagine This, using a symphonic orchestra, big voices, not at all really what you would put on the stage, but certainly it gave me a sense of what this music could be within the framework of the theater. And there was a very rough script, kind of almost more a story outline than a script. And I got the package, I threw the CD in my car, couldn't take it out of my car because I just loved the music, then looked at the story outline and realized that I grew up and come from a tradition of the really strong book musical. And I think that the trend in recent years has been away from that. And that's not to say that I don't enjoy tremendously a lot of the musicals that have been developed in recent years. But certainly what kind of made musical theater what it was in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, has evolved into something very different. I think that this, Imagine This, is probably, in terms of style and form, closer to those kinds of musicals. And by that I don't mean old-fashioned, but I mean in terms of a far more classic structure. A strong book, strong music. And so I think that appealed to me, because I think there is a place for everything in musical theater, and I think that we are lacking new original musicals. And I would hate to see that, as an art form, disappear. I think that the idea that these wonderful ideas can spring from people's creative imaginations is thrilling, and I would hate to see it, musical theater or anything else, become something about just rehashed books or movies or whatever in a different form. So that was also part of what attracted me.
And from 2.5 years ago to today, obviously an awful lot has happened in the meantime. You've presumably had to raise quite a substantial amount of money to get this show to come off. You've then had to put it all together. How much did you get involved? You say you're a tyro when it comes to musicals. So how much did you get involved? How much did you get help from others?
Well, I myself, I wish I had the kind of money to just write checks. Yeah. It's interesting because one of the things about my... I mean, I've worked in film and television, both as a producer and as an executive for many years. And when you work in a creative medium, whether it be theater, whether it be film, whether it be television, you are working with writers, directors, artists, musicians, people like that. For me, the single biggest difference from anything I've done before and doing Imagine This is that theater is unique in that it is basically funded by human beings. I came out of a world where if I had what I thought was a great idea and would go and do a pitch to a TV network or go and do a pitch to a film studio. In this case, I was going doing pitches to human beings sitting across from me, like you and I are sitting across from each other, and saying, this is something I deeply believe in. This is something I believe, if done right, can be a success, and I am asking you to write a check and support it. That's a very different proposition. I can't say it's one I've enjoyed. If I didn't believe in Imagine This to the degree I do, A, I would never have done it, and B, I certainly wouldn't have succeeded at it. Over the course of the last 2.5 years, not only have I had to raise a large sum of money, but I was raising that large sum of money for specific purposes, meaning that at the end of the day, we'll probably end up the total budget for Imagine This, not to open just here in the New London, but we'll probably come out at about £4.5 million, which is utterly staggering. By the same token, we did a workshop here in London 2 years ago, January of 07, that gave us the information we needed to start changing the shows. It had never been presented in front of people before, and to start making the kinds of changes that then indeed allowed us to try out at the Theatre Royal Plymouth last summer. An invaluable experience for us. Again, led us to understand what was working, what wasn't working, what did we need to change. I mean, I'll be forever indebted to the Plymouth audiences for that, because they really kind of set us a roadmap, if you will. And being in a place like Plymouth, where people love theater, they love musical theater, and yet it is a non-urban, non-ethnic environment, really gave me the ability to see how a general audience would react to it, and fortunately they reacted to it really well. I hope to get a London theater. I didn't know when. There have certainly been more shows than more musicals especially than theaters available, and I have enormous regard and appreciation for the really useful group being willing to take a chance on a new original musical that isn't based on anything. I mean, there are a lot of shows, and especially back in May and June when Really Useful offered us the theater, there were a lot of shows looking for a theater, a lot more obvious choices than Imagine This. And I have to believe that, I mean, I know for a fact that they have a commitment to musical theater and that they believe it is important to support those people who are doing it. So that $4.5 million encompasses everything up until next Wednesday night when we open here. I will also say that for me, what's been so exciting about this is that film and television are generally done on a much larger scale, and the intimacy of being involved in theater is very exciting. Working with a comparatively small group of people through the development process, working with, you know, the music supervisor, working with all of the people who are involved on a day-to-day level in creating this and being able to have input into it, because it is such a small, intimate group. It's certainly professionally the most rewarding thing I've ever done.
How heavy has your involvement been?
Heavy. Probably heavier than a lot of those people would like. and by that I mean I really feel strongly that you have to allow creative people to do their jobs. The reason I'm working with a director like Tim Sheeter is because I trust him to know how to direct this show. The reason Liam Steele is doing extraordinary movement and choreography and bringing a very different vocabulary to traditional musical theater movement is because I recognized that this was a show where your traditional kind of tap dance or step dancing wasn't going to work. I mean, it's a unique vehicle. Tim Mitchell in lighting, Eugene Leo in scenic design. So I'm working with people who I respect. If they didn't feel I respected them, A, they wouldn't want to work with me, and B, they wouldn't want to do their good work. By the same token, I feel a responsibility to all of these people who put up these millions of pounds on the basis of the show that I expect to deliver to them. And I've spent a lifetime in popular entertainment. I don't have the talent to design sets or to write music or to orchestrate music or to direct or to choreograph. But what I do believe I have is essential good taste. And I think that it's very helpful. I'm not one of these people who sits in the rehearsals 12 hours a day, because one of the things that I think I can bring to the process that benefits everyone working on the show is a certain amount of perspective, because it's very easy to get too close to something.
Why has this become a British show? You're an American.
I am an American.
For the most part, the cast and the backstage team, Eugene Lee isn't, but the cast and backstage team are primarily British, and you're putting it on at the New London, you're not putting it on Broadway or in Australia or wherever else. What was the motivation behind bringing it to the UK?
There are three reasons. Other than myself and the three authors, the composer, lyricist, and book writer, everyone working on the show is indeed British. And one of the reasons for developing it here is I believe, and to be honest with you, Philip, it's been proven out. I believe there is a commitment to, and a kind of a commitment to and an openness to new theater, a commitment to exciting theater, a commitment to seeing theater develop. I think that the very fact that we are opening in the New London in a show that is a brand new original musical without, as you pointed out, any big star names. We didn't cast our leads through a reality show. There's nobody who's going to walk down the street and immediately get recognized. I think that the very fact that the Theatre Royal Plymouth found something in this show that they found exciting. I believe there's a culture of theater here, and that's not to say there isn't wonderful theater in America, but there is a culture of theater here that I think is much more enhanced than it is there. I think that your whole system of regional theaters is a very thrilling one. Going beyond that, and being perfectly honest, it is far cheaper to produce theater here than it is in New York. The same show that I will produce here for £4.5 million, including a workshop, a tryout, an opening in the West End, I would not be able to even think about producing in the United States for under about $14 million. So,
is that 14 or 40?
$14 million, yeah. But dollars, yeah. Not. So, yeah. So, I mean, we're looking at a situation in which we're probably 30 to 40% cheaper to do a show here.
On current exchange rates, I'm afraid you're about half the price now.
Well, I have to tell you, I feel like I deserve what the exchange rates have been for the last month or two, because I spent most of this period at horrific exchange rates of, you know, 1.9, 2.0, 2.1. And the very fact that the last money I've raised over the last 4 months has been coming in at a good exchange rate from my point of view. Although I will say I have both American investors and British investors. So for the British investors, it hasn't done that much for them. But for those Americans who have been investing dollars, it has really helped me along substantially, which in this economy, to be honest, I mean, 6 months ago, and I hate to say this, but I know it's true, if the economy was in the States 6 months ago that it is in today, this show wouldn't be opening, because I would not have been able to finish raising the money I would have needed to open it. That's just being realistic. And so the very fact that we are able to open has as much to do with a lot of people who have faith in the show and a really improved rate of exchange.
So what do you see happening in the West End and on Broadway going forwards? You're saying that this show couldn't have opened. Presumably that follows through for an awful lot of other shows, unless you've got some big Hollywood superstar, unless you've got a very low budget or some kind of great concept. Are you really fearful that there are going to be a lot of theatres dark over the next few months in both countries?
I'm not fearful. I think fearful would probably be an exaggeration. I'm aware of the challenge of attracting an audience and making them believe that it is worth going out and spending 50 or 60 pounds on a ticket for an evening of theater. I believe, if anything, what that does is put an enormous responsibility on me, on our actors, and on our show to deliver to them an evening that is worth doing that for. Because if this recession that we're in or entering, or, you know, depending who you talk to, if that continues for a certain period of time, and if it follows historical precedent, traditionally entertainment media survive a little bit better than lots of others, because when we are all living in a certain amount of anxiety and with worries and all of that, every now and again you really want to get out there and enjoy something. So what I believe, what I hope, is that if someone, instead of being able to go to the theater 4 or 5 times in a season, ends up only being able to go to the theater once or twice in a season, my hope is that Imagine This will be the show they want to see, because that's really all I can do. And I believe that Imagine This and other shows that will be opening, I mean, Priscilla is a big show that's going to be opening in the coming months. Oliver is a big show. Now, granted, some of those shows have name value, but, you know, when I think back on the musicals that I think of as kind of seminal musicals, the idea of having a star in the West End or on Broadway is a fairly recent development. It used to be there were musical theater stars. There were people who, if you were an aficionado of musical theater, you would recognize the person starring in the show. But in terms of a broad general public, no. And I believe that part of why that's happened is because the financial stakes have gotten so much larger, that it's so much more expensive to produce something. You're looking to hedge your bets as much as you can. But I believe, I not only believe, I know that the talent, the cast we have on this stage, they may not be household words at this point, but I believe, A, that they deserve to be, and B, that if Imagine This is the success I hope it will be, they will be. I mean, Peter Policarpo is turning in a remarkable performance. I mean, a stunning performance. Our two young leads, Simon Gleason and Layla Ben-Harris, have the most astounding voices. And not only that, are fine actors. Because one of the things that I love about a book musical is that the cast not only has to be able to sing well and dance well, they have to be able to act well. And so, I mean, we have, I think, a stunning cast. And I hate the idea that anybody would cast the star of a musical, be it a new musical or a revival or anything else, purely on the basis of what they think is going to drive box office sales.
It has been known to happen.
It has been known to happen. I'm sure it will happen again, and perhaps I am a bit of an innocent, but I really believe that we need to hold on to the whole concept that you cast the person who's right for the part.
Having produced this show, do you feel never again? Do you want to take this one to Broadway? Do you want to do something else next week?
There is nothing that would give me greater pleasure than for Imagine This to be the success here in London, and then hopefully go out, you know, in a touring company here in the UK, that would allow me then to take this particular show in other forms to other markets. Because I believe that the message of the show, the music of the show, really does have a worldwide appeal in terms of the story. I will tell you, as I tell everybody who calls me with new ideas, as I tell all three of the authors on this show, never again. This is it. I never dreamed of being a theater producer or a musical producer. I am doing this because I believe this is a show that screams to be exposed to the public. And I don't expect another one of those to come along in my lifetime.
Beth Trachtenberg, thank you very much indeed.
Thank
and
you.
Good luck with the opening next week.
Thanks, Philip. I'll look forward to seeing you there.